Thank you, Pastor Kurt. Whoa. It's always a joy to sing with you and to praise the Lord together here in this place. I would like to, if you're not there already, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter, our scripture reading this morning. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. And I would like to, as we get started, I'd like to just go ahead and read that passage again one more time as we start to look at God's Word this morning. So 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I would just like to talk to God one more time and ask him for his help as we look at this passage together. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are grateful and humbled to be here. And I just want to come before you and ask you one last time that you would help me, and that as I speak your words, that would be exactly what they are, that it would not be my words coming out, but that it would be your words. Father, will you help us? Will you give us wisdom? Will you give us understanding of your word today, and show us where we can change and apply it to our lives and become more like you? And Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a question for all of us as we get started this morning. It's a simple question, and it might sound irrelevant almost, but it's a good one. Do you spend time in this book? Do you spend time in this book regularly? Feeding yourself on the truth that is in this book. And I really want to emphasize that word truth. Do you spend time in this book? Do you spend time with God? Feeding yourself on the truth of his words. I was reminded again as I was at camp with our teenagers just this past week. I was reminded again just how we will spend time with what we love, don't we? We spend time with what we love. If we love God, we will spend time with him, feeding ourselves on the truth of his word. Do we love God, and do we spend time with him? How much time do you spend with God? In this book, letting him talk to you. Letting him talk to you about himself, about you, about what he's done, about who he wants you to become, about who he is. Do you spend time with him? Now, I know there's many in here. I know many of you love the Lord. I know that. And I know that that many of you spend time with God regularly, but I also am persuaded somewhat that there are some in here who do not spend much time with God, and you keep saying to yourself, "I'm going to get around to it sometime," but things don't line up perfectly, do they? Because of the world we live in, right? Things don't line up perfectly, and man, I just don't get around to it. Well, I just want to say, it's important that I open this up this way, that it's time to get around to spending time with God. We are as close to God as we want to be. Do you realize that if you're in here and you do not have a very close relationship with God, that it is not God's fault? We can be as close to God as we want to be. He has given us His Word. Do we spend time with Him in His Word regularly? And one of the main reasons that we need to be spending time with God in His Word is basically because of what our text is going to teach us this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. It is so important that we spend time with God because of the main message of our text. Now, I'm going to give you, I'm going to give us a spoiler alert, okay? You like spoiler alerts? Yeah? All right? Beep! Beep! Okay. I'm gonna take us to the end of the message right now, okay? Now, how many of you, I just got to ask, how many of you, you love a good book? How many of you guys are readers? You love a good book? Let me see your hands. Very good. I see many ladies and a couple of guys. That's good. Okay. All right. How many of you, okay, you love a good book, and you're like me a little bit, where you just really can't take it, and you start to read a little bit, and then you end up skipping to the back because you just got to know who wins. Anybody else like that in here? Truth in Church, okay? Truth in Church this morning? Okay, a couple of you are like waving at me. It's okay. Put your hand up, okay? That's what I'm going to do right now, all right? I'm going to do that right now. Okay, we're going to skip to the back. Those of you that like that will like me. Those of you that don't, won't, but that's okay. Here's the bottom line, okay? It is so important, and this is what the Apostle Peter is going to talk to us about in this text, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. It is so important that we spend time with God, allowing Him to talk to us, simply because of this, that His Word, God's Word, this is so elementary, but let me just talk to us about this. His Word is true. And it is true 100% of the time. Do you understand that God is the only one? Do you ever think about this every once in a while? God is the only one that you can go to where He will tell you the truth 100% every time. And you can be confident in everything that He says. He will never lead you astray. He will never give you bad advice. It will always be true. It will always be spot on. Now, you can come to me if you want to as one of your pastors, and I hope that I would always give you sound advice. All right? I hope that I would always point you in the right direction. You could have confidence in what I say, but here's the bottom line. I'm a flawed person. Okay, some of you are like, I already knew that. But I am. Okay, I am a flawed person. Everybody in this room is a flawed person. You're not going to find anyone who will, that everything that they ever say to you is going to be spot on 100% of the time, okay? In fact, I'll tell you what, do this for me because this will be fun. Husbands, where are husbands? Let me see your hands, husbands, in this room, okay? Okay, husbands, turn to your wife sitting next to you and tell her that I could be wrong, okay? Okay, wives, I want you to do the same thing, okay? Turn to your husband and tell him that I could be wrong about something, okay? Do we have any dating couples in here? No, I won't do that. But God's Word, the words of God, are 100% true every single time. And what the Apostle Peter is going to talk to us about this morning is, listen, when it comes to God's Word, that is where I put my full confidence. All of my eggs are in that basket. All of my eggs are in that basket. I don't have any eggs out here floating around in different baskets out here, okay? All of my eggs are in the basket of God's Word. I put all of my stock in the words of God. 100% of the time, I have confidence, full confidence in God's Word. It is so important that we spend time with God. Do you spend time with God? Regularly. Letting him talk to you about the truth of his word. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Psalm 93, verse 5 says, "Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever." John 17, 17, this is a very familiar one. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's where we are. And there are two things the Apostle Peter is going to talk to us about this morning. He says there are two things that you can put your absolute confidence in. God's spoken word and God's written word. Those are the two things that you can put your absolute confidence in. The title of the message this morning, just in case you want to take notes and you want to write it down, is "The Words of God Equal Truth." The words of God equal truth. And we're going to jump into our text. Point number one this morning, very simple, God's spoken word. God's spoken word. Look down with me in verse number 16, and you'll notice something right off the bat. Down in verse 16, as we jump into our text, Peter starts off with the word "for." And that's important to take note of real quick, because whenever he uses that word, what he's doing is he's connecting these verses that God had him write down, he's connecting these verses with the verses that he wrote just before this. All right. Really, in 2 Peter chapter 1, really the whole chapter builds off of each other. The way the Apostle Peter writes is you've got to pay attention to what was written before in order to really understand what he just wrote now. So in order to understand this, you've got to know what he said here. And in order to understand what he said here, you've got to know what he said here. Okay? So it builds off of each other. Really, probably a better word for the Greek word that's used here, that's translated "for," probably a better word would probably be "because." All right? He starts off with the word "for" or "because." So let's go back here real quick. Let me just take a couple of minutes to do this, just so we're all on the same page here. Go back with me. Look at verses 12 through 15 as I read them. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things." So basically, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, guys, to his readers, I'm going to die soon, okay? I'm not going to be here for very much longer. I don't know how he knew that, but somehow God must have revealed that to him in some way. Because he said, look, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm soon going to die. But until I die, there's something I'm going to do until the day I die. I'm never going to stop doing this, and that's this, that I will never stop telling you, proclaiming, telling you, and reminding you about the teachings of Jesus. I'm never going to stop doing this till the Lord comes to get me. Whenever I die, depart, and go off to be with him in heaven, I will never stop doing this. I will never stop telling you about Jesus, about the teachings of Jesus, what he has done for you, and the kind of person that he wants you to be. I will never stop doing that. All right? Now go back with me, because 12 through 15 really describes what he's talking about is really verses 3 through 11. Let me just go through this very, very quickly. Go back with me to verse 3. What will Peter never stop talking to? What will Peter never stop talking about? Here's what he'll never stop talking about. Look back there in verse 3. First of all, what Jesus did for you. Verse number 3. His divine power, talking about Jesus, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life, first of all, which means eternal life. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, by his power, has done everything for you and me that was needed in order to give us eternal life. That's how much he loves you. Man, he loves you. You know that? He absolutely loves you. And because of that, by his own divine power, he did everything. We couldn't do anything. We didn't do anything. He did it all. He did everything that was needed that was needed to be done to give you and I eternal life and forgiveness from our sins. Do you realize that that he kept the law for you? He lived for you as your substitute. Do you realize that you don't have to do anything in order to be righteous before God? Jesus Christ has all of the righteousness you need. And then he died in your place, in my place. And he rose again. And he ascended back into heaven. And all he says is just believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Just believe. Have you believed? Has there ever been a time when you believed that Jesus had done everything for you to give you forgiveness of your sins, to grant you eternal life? And you called upon his name, for the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. And I know that you did everything to give me forgiveness of my sins. I accept your forgiveness. Will you accept me as one of yours and save me? And he will do it because he loves you. If you've never done that, if that's never happened to you, you know you can do that today. It's not too late yet. And he loves you and he came for you. This is the first thing that Peter says. I will never stop talking about this. Until the day I die, I will never stop proclaiming this. What Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. That by his own divine power, he has granted to us all things that pertain to life. And then to godliness. Do we understand that it's by God's power working in us when we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us? It's by his power, not our own, that we're able to live lives that please God. It's by his divine power. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then keep moving on here as we move through this. We're able to live godly lives because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of his power. Verse 4, that he has granted us his precious and very great promises and made us partakers of the divine nature. And then in verse 5, he reminds us how Jesus wants your lives and my life to change. He says, this is what I'm going to never stop talking about. I'm never going to stop talking about of what Jesus Christ has done for you and now the kind of person that he wants you to become. And he lists off a few of Christ-like character qualities: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And I'm not going to go through what all of those words mean right now because we don't have time. You can do that study on your own. But what Peter is saying here is, I won't stop talking about this. What Jesus Christ has done for you and the kind of person he wants you to become. This is the kind of person he wants you to become: a person of virtue, a person of knowledge, person of self-control and steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, a person of love. This is who Jesus Christ wants you to be, wants you to become. I'll never stop telling you this. Until the day I die. Look at verses 15 and 16. And we'll see the reason why he'll never stop talking. Let me just give it to you. Because these things are true. I will never stop speaking about them because they are true, and I am deeply persuaded that I know that they are true. Here's what he says. Look at verses 15. We'll go to 16. and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things, for or because we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In other words, here's what he's saying. Here's what the Holy Spirit directed Peter to write down. Why will I never stop telling you about these things? Because this is not something that I just freely, willy-nilly came up with and dreamed up on my own. All right? This isn't something that I know I got a crazy imagination. You guys have a crazy imagination? You know anyone who has a crazy imagination? My kids have crazy imaginations, okay? But Peter's saying, look, I did not dream this up. And this isn't something that I read in a book somewhere. Okay? That's not where I got this, okay? This is not some myth that now I am cleverly weaving my words together so that they're believable to you, so that you'll believe what I'm saying right now. Okay? That's not what this is. Let me get our verse again. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't something that I just came up with on my own. Okay? When I say the reason that I will never stop telling you these things, the reason for this simply is this. The reason I will never stop talking about what Jesus Christ has done for you, and the reason I will never stop talking about who Jesus Christ wants you to become, and the reason I will never look where he takes this real quick, and the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the reason I will never stop talking about the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, and one day he is going to come back. And when he comes back, he will come back in power and great glory to judge the world. He is going to come back one day. I will never stop talking about these things because they are true. This is not something that I cleverly dreamed up or read in a book somewhere on my own and just came up with this. And now I'm really good with my words and I'm weaving them together so that I'm believable to you, so that you'll take my word for this, okay? That's not what this is. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I didn't dream this up. He says, I saw something. I was there. I was an eyewitness. I saw something. That word majesty, by the way, simply means splendor or magnificence. I saw Jesus in all of his splendor and magnificence. I saw something here. My kids, a lot of my illustrations revolve around my kids, by the way. My life used to be full of exciting things. Now my life is full of three things who do a lot of exciting things. So my kids have the movie Beauty and the Beast. How many of you like that movie? It's probably my favorite. Here's a fun fact about me. Not that you care, but this is probably my favorite cartoon movie. You know, it's got. I mean, it keeps you on the edge of your seat, you know, if you're seeing it for the first time, It's got some intense moments. It's got some cool action scenes actually building throughout. And it's got a really, really cool love story. But there's a part in the movie where Belle's dad, you know who Belle is, okay? One of the main characters in the movie, okay? Looks kind of like my wife, which is probably one of the reasons I like it. Belle's dad gets kidnapped by the beast. Remember this? Okay? Gets put in the dungeon. The horse, Philippe, escapes and goes back, finds Belle. Belle jumps on him. Philippe takes her back to the castle. She goes in, and one of the first things to see her is Chip, the teacup. Remember him? He's the first one to see her, one of the first ones to see her. And he goes to his mom, Mrs. Teapot, And all right, let me get through this. And he says to his mom, "Mama, there's a girl in the castle." And his mom says, his mom doesn't believe him. She goes, "Now, Chip, I'll not have you making up such wild stories." You can tell I've watched this a time or two. And he says, what does he say? He goes, "Really, Mama? I saw her." In other words, don't tell me what I saw. Yeah. Right? In other words, you can't take this away from me, Mommy. All right? I didn't hear this secondhand from one of, from Miss Dustbuster over there, or the, or whoever else it was. Okay, all right. I didn't hear this secondhand or thirdhand. Okay, I saw the girl in the castle. You can't take this away from me. All right, and that is basically, Peter is basically pulling at the same idea here. All right, the Apostle Peter is kind of pulling at the same idea. He's saying that I am an eyewitness. I saw something. I saw Jesus in all of his splendor and magnificence and majesty. Now, what's he talking about here? Because we know that Peter was with Jesus all along, right? So Peter saw all kinds of stuff, okay? Like, Peter saw Jesus walk on water. And then Peter did it for a little bit. Peter saw Jesus calm the storm. Peter saw Jesus feed 5,000 people, okay? With five barley loaves and two fish, okay? Peter saw Jesus heal all kinds of people. He witnessed all kinds of miracles, okay? But what is he talking about here whenever he says, "I saw something"? I saw Jesus in all of his splendor and magnificence. Look at verses 17 and 18 with me. "For when he received," talking about Jesus, "for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory," and that's just another name for God, okay? "And the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about Matthew 17 and Luke chapter 9, where we have written down for us what happened at the transfiguration, whenever Jesus was transfigured before them. Now, I want us, if we can, I want us to put ourselves in their shoes for a minute. And by the way, Peter didn't go up on this holy mountain by himself. You'll see in there that he uses a plural word, "we." Who else went up there with him? Say again? James and John, right? Okay, so these three guys go up with Jesus onto this mountain. Now let's just put ourselves in their shoes here for a second, okay? Now, they get up there. They get up there on this mountain, and what's the first thing that they do? Sleep, okay? They fall asleep. Kind of typical, I know, okay? So they fall asleep, first of all, but then when they wake up, Jesus is transfigured before them. Now, let's just put yourself in these guys' shoes for a second. Now, you wake up, you look at Jesus, and suddenly the Bible says that his face just starts to shine like the sun, the Bible says. It's just this radiant light. His face just starts shining, and it's shining like the sun. And then, not only that, but then the Bible says that his clothes started to glow this bright white. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I imagine it's maybe because Jesus' whole body started to glow. And so his clothes become this bright, radiant white. He is just shining right now in majesty and splendor and magnificence. Peter sees him like this. Peter, James, and John, they see him like this. So Jesus is just absolutely shining right now. And then all of a sudden, as he's there shining, these two guys appear from heaven who were Moses and Elijah. All right, and Jesus starts to talk with them. And as he's talking with them, Peter starts to talk. And Peter says a couple of things that I'm not sure I quite understand. But here's what Peter says. He says to Jesus, "It's good to be here." And then he says, "If you want me to, I'll build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Okay? And as he's talking, the Bible says that as he's talking, he's interrupted, okay? Jesus is still, he's just shining like crazy. magnificent, majesty, all of that. He's just shining like crazy. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, this bright cloud appears and starts to come toward them. And not only does it make it to them, but it totally engulfs them. So now they're inside this cloud. Jesus is still just shining like the sun inside this cloud. Now, what's really, really interesting, now look at this. You've got to see this, is what Peter draws his attention to right here. Look back down at our passage here. You would think, at least I would, that he would draw attention to everything that he was seeing as an eyewitness. But look what he talks about here. He says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. He says, here's what meant everything to me. We were in that cloud with Jesus, who was shining like the sun, and we heard the voice of God come from the cloud, and he said, this is my beloved Son, whom I love, and I am well pleased with him. Jesus was exactly who he said he was. Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. God come in the flesh to take away the sins of the world. And Peter's saying, I was an eyewitness to this. I was there. I was in the cloud. I heard the voice plainly. The voice of God who confirmed for me, this is who this is. And I will never stop talking about it. I was there. I didn't make this up. I didn't dream this up, guys. I didn't read this in some crazy book. I was there. Jesus was shining like crazy. And the voice of God spoke out, said, this is my beloved Son. And then he ends it, and Peter doesn't record this here, but we read about it back in the Gospels. The last thing that God said was, listen to him. Do you listen to him? You know, I tell people to do this because it's something that I love to do, honestly. I counsel people sometimes to read the story of Jesus over and over and over and over again. And when you read what he said, do you listen to him? Because it's true. He's exactly who he claimed to be. Peter said, I was there, I was an eyewitness to it. Do you listen when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Do you listen when he says, you are the salt of the earth? Do you listen when he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery? But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you listen to him? Do you listen to him when he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you listen to him? And Peter says, I will never, ever stop till the day I die, because this is who he is. And it's true. I was an eyewitness. I was there. He was who he claimed to be. This is what he's done for you. He has saved you. He has made it possible for you to live a godly life. He has given you his precious and very great promises. Here's who he wants you to be: a person of virtue, person of godliness, person of knowledge, person of brotherly kindness, person of love. This is who he wants you to become: someone like him. And I will never stop saying that one day he ascended back into heaven, but he is going to come back. And when he comes back, he will come back in splendor and great glory and magnificence and majesty. This is what is going to happen. I was there. I saw it. James and John will back up my story. I was an eyewitness to this. I heard the voice of God, and this thing is driving me insane. There you go. There you go. And Peter says, I put all of my stock, I put all of my eggs in this basket, the very words that I heard God the Father speak to me. That's it. Put everything in that. They're true. And therefore, what Jesus said is true. I'll never stop. And not only, let's move on, not only does he talk about the spoken words of God that he was an eyewitness to, but he also says we have the written words of God. We have the written words of God. Verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Basically, here's what he's saying. I was an eyewitness to this. I saw it, and I know that it's true. I heard it. I heard God speak. Here's the truth of what it is. However, we have something that's even more fully confirmed, the prophetic word. This book. It is so true that from the Old Testament on, the Bible is written pointing to the Savior the whole entire time. And you know something? We could go to so many scripture passages in the Old Testament that point to the coming of the Messiah. It all points to Jesus. Fully confirmed now. More fully confirmed. We're not going to do that because we don't have time. What I will do is I want to read to you the very words of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Luke 24, 25 through 27. Let me read to you the words of Jesus. This is when he had resurrected from the dead. He's on the road to Emmaus, and he runs into two guys. And he says to these two, well, he said a lot to these two guys. Let me read to you, something specific that he said. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Peter says, we have the prophetic word. And then he goes on and he says, and you would do well to pay attention to this. You would do well to pay attention to this. My son, Trent, he loves ice cream. I love ice cream, too. Do you love ice cream? I know you guys do. He does something that's absolutely hilarious. Whenever he has ice cream, he did this in Chick-fil-A not long ago. My wife got a picture of it. Is when he has ice cream, he pays so close attention to that because he is so scared that something is going to happen to it. He's so scared that someone might take it from him or something. And here's literally what he does. This is what I want to say. My wife got a picture of this, and it was absolutely priceless. Like, if he has to do something else, and if he has to take his focus off of that, he will not take his focus off of it. Like if it's like, hey Trent, can you hand me, Can you hand me that cup over there? He will do this. He'll go, like, the ice cream's here, okay? And he'll go. He won't take his eyes off of it. And if he has to leave, like let's say he has to go use the restroom or something like that, he will always say this. He'll come to me or he'll go to his mom and he'll say, he'll come up and he'll be like, Casey, not take it. Because she's going to steal it, I guess. He's just convinced of that, I guess. But he is just so focused on that, it's ridiculous. All right? And that's kind of the idea here. Look at what Peter says. That's the idea of this, of the way Peter says, you need to pay attention to this book. You need to pay attention to this book. You would do well to pay attention to this and pay attention to it like a lamp shining in a dark place. Have you ever been in a room or in a place that is like extremely dark? You ever been there? Maybe it was in a cave somewhere or in a room somewhere. I don't know where it was, but have you ever been in a place that is so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face? Have you been there? Say yes if you have. Okay, so you know what this is. And you can't see anything. And yet, all of a sudden, right? This has happened to everybody because you're here, obviously. All of a sudden, there's a light. Whenever it's that dark, whenever you see that light, what do your eyes do? Say again? They fix. You are fixed on that. And you don't take your eyes away from it. And that's what Peter is saying here. He's saying, you would do well to pay attention to this and pay attention to it like a lamp shining in a dark place. We are in a dark world, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't something that Peter made up. There are lots of made up things, right? And there's going to be many more made up things if the Lord doesn't come back. We are living in a dark world full of sin, full of counsel that is wrong. Full of stories that are wrong. Full of teachings that are wrong. We are living in a dark place. And Peter says, you would do well to pay attention to this word. It is fully confirmed. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. Here is what he has said. It's the truth. I was there. This book that was written long before Jesus came prophesied that he would come, prophesied about who he was. It is fully confirmed, and you would do well to pay attention to it. Do you pay attention to it? Do you spend time with God? That's what you're doing. You're spending time with God. Letting him speak the truth to you. That is 100% accurate. 100% of the time. Is 100% trustworthy. And will never, ever lead you wrong. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light to my pathway. Do you pay attention to this book? How much time do you spend with God? Do you spend a lot of time with God? Are you ready for Christ to return? Peter says, I'm an eyewitness to this right here. If Christ were to come back, and he is going to, and when he comes back, Peter says, I saw him in his majesty. I saw him in his magnificence on that mountain. He will come back like that. And he will judge the world. When he comes back, are you ready to meet him? Or are you not ready to meet him? Peter says, I will never stop talking about this. Jesus loves you so much. And he died for you. So that you would not perish, but so you would have everlasting life. He did it all. He did it all for you, and it's the truth. Fully confirmed by the words of God and by the prophetic word that we have in our hands. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you one of his children? Or have you never become one of his children? I'll ask the instrumentalist to come. And would you please bow your heads as we finish up tonight? I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not going to take a long time. But I do want to ask, first and foremost, I want to ask if you'd be willing to lift your hand and say, as everybody's heads are bowed, every eye is closed, as the instrumentalists start to play, I just want to ask this question. Do you spend time with God? Do you pay attention to this book that he has written for you and for me, like a lamp in a dark place? Are you close with him? Are you close with God, feeding your mind on the truth of his words? And I just want to ask this, and maybe you'd be humble enough to say, Pastor Aaron, you know what, I really don't spend much time in the truth, letting God talk to me, spending time with him. Would you please pray for me? Would you just lift your hand? If that's you, would you lift your hand? Say, I don't, and I need to, and I know that. Thank you very, very much. You may put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. But I want to ask this as well. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you belong to him? Have you called upon his name when you realized that you were a sinner and that he did everything that was needed to pay your penalty and forgive you and give you eternal life? If you've never done that, if that has never happened to you, please don't leave without getting that taken care of. Because you can, and he will save you today. I'm just going to let the instruments play for a moment. If that's you, would you come? There are counselors down here that would love to take you aside and talk to you about how he can become your Savior and you can become his child. But would you come right now as the instruments play? If that's you. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for those that have raised their hands. Father, guide them as they make you a priority in getting in their relationship with you, and getting close with you as they feed their minds on the truth of your word. Thank you for meeting with us here today. May you go with us now as we go our separate ways and give us a good afternoon together, we pray. And it's in your most precious name. Amen. Verses 21, I'll read.